Hey, Nick, what do the Rangers and Wilt Chamberlain have in common?
What do you got for me?
They both score 5 times a night.
I like it. Hopefully the sun doesn't come up on the Rangers.
Wow. Adam, nothing from you?
I mean, they're on their way to 20,000 goals this season.
Hey, so. Yes!
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, welcome to the show. We're going to speak with Dan Rosen from NHL.com in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about the Blue Shirts' upcoming road trip. But let's start off with this offense with Nick Lacalze and Adam Rotter. 5 goals every night. 26 goals during this 5-game win streak. Unbelievable.
It's going right up and down the lineup. Every single person on this Rangers team from the first line to the fourth line to the third defensive pair is contributing.
My favorite stat, which I saw last night, which is that the Rangers have scored 26 goals in the last 5 games, which is more than the Vancouver Canucks have scored all season.
It's bad. And
the Devils and the Avs and one other team. But it's been crazy. They've bulk ordered those red lights behind the net just because they keep wearing them out.
I did a radio spot with TSN 1050 in Vancouver Tuesday morning and said, what can we expect at the Garden Tuesday? And I said, pain. Because this is going to be the poor Canucks. They're so banged up and they're not a really good hockey team on top of it. And they are going to run into a buzzsaw at the Garden.
The Rangers are motoring. I mean, at this rate, the offense is going to put Papa John's out of business with the 3-goal deal.
Wow.
They can't be stopped.
Free pizza for everybody.
Exactly.
Michael Grabner has 7 goals. We had Brett Sergalis on from the Post last week. He goes, if you told me in 3 weeks that Grabner would still have 5 goals, I wouldn't be surprised. He's got 7 next week. How many is he going to have? 11?
Kevin Hayes worked really well with Carl Hagelin his rookie year. I see some similarities between Grabner and Hagelin with the speed and the forecheck. And maybe it's woken Hayes up a little bit too because he is red hot. I mean, you could say it about every single person in the lineup, but that third line, they're plus 13, and Kevin Hayes, JT Miller, and Michael Grabner are the 3 leading point scorers on the New York Rangers.
Kevin Hayes looks like a completely different player to me, Adam.
He looks better than I ever expected him to.
It's unbelievable.
I didn't see him with Johnny Gaudreau at Boston College, but I saw him his first 2 years, and this is totally different. I mean, the fact that he's like up around 50% on faceoffs, that to me blows away everything else he's doing, because he was the worst to the point that
bad.
You and I, Brian,
we didn't even want him playing center
every single week last year,
right?
On this podcast, we were saying right wing, and he stunk at that. Yep. And now he's a great center.
The long summer may have been huge for the Rangers, whether it be faceoffs for Hayes, new legs for Girardi and Staal, and these young kids coming in, but the Rangers really got down to business. I don't know if Alain Vigneault gave everybody a plan to sharpen their game, but Rick Nash lost weight. Kevin Hayes is sharper. Whatever they did this summer has paid out in spades here.
Well, when it comes to Hayes, like, Hayes had a terrible season.
Yeah, he was
another
not good.
Season like that
in
from Kevin
house.
Hayes.
Yeah.
He's possibly signing a 2-way contract in his next contract. He really was motivated to bounce back from last year because there was a lot of talk that maybe he wasn't that good. He bounced back and he really put in the time and the effort to be a different player, and so far it's paid off.
You have to wonder how much the benchings helped him last year, or at least helped him in the long run. Did they motivate him a little bit? Can we give Alain Vigneault a little bit of a credit?
I just think, Nick, this team is contagious. They just all rub off on each other. I think all these other guys are just bringing out the best in Hayes.
I think VZ's another point.
Right.
He can't come
it's
in and get outplayed by the rookie right away. You know, he started with Nash. And like you said, the creativity. Gorton deserves a lot of credit as well for these moves because, I mean, the Brassard trade, that was a risky move. The Zibanejad's look good. Even, granted, he's slowed down a little bit. But, hey, I think that's okay right now. Zuccarello looks incredible. Chris Kreider still, he came back and looks just as good. Nash is reinvigorated. Contagious is a good word for it, Brian.
They're all rubbing off on each other. And it goes back to Grabner, fellas, because I watched Grabner get a million breakaways a game for years with the Islanders after his rookie season and never scored. It's almost like they're competing against each other to see who's going to score the most goals every night. It's insane.
Oh, I think that's a good thing to have. I think that kind of competition. But I think that they care about each other. They didn't like how last season ended. And I think a lot of these guys felt like they had something to prove and put in the work in the offseason. They had a lot of time to do that. And, you know, we've seen progression from JT Miller. We've seen progression from Chris Kreider. We've seen it from Hayes. You know, they look like they're having fun. And it's good to see after they probably put in that work over the summer.
And a lot of these goals aren't just pretty goals like we saw the Rangers score last year. Right. They're scoring on the doorstep. Michael Grabner at the top of the crease, redirecting pucks. Jesper Foss, I mean, the one thing I'll give him, I don't like his overall skill set. I shouldn't say I don't like it. I don't love it. Mm-hmm. There's nobody better on the Rangers when it comes to deflecting pucks. I mean, he puts pucks home on deflections better than anybody on the Rangers. But Rick Nash, the game winner against Edmonton, planted in front of the crease. Granted, there was no defenseman within 6 feet of him for some reason, but planted at the top of the crease. You're seeing guys all over the blue paint. The Rangers are not afraid to be in goalies' faces this year, and that's different as well.
Here's another thing that I like, because they didn't necessarily have their legs Sunday against Winnipeg after playing the night before against the Bruins. They can beat you in different ways. It's not necessarily a speed game all the time, because they didn't have their legs, like I said, on Sunday, and they still won. They still scored 5 goals.
It's power, it's speed, it's creativity. It's a very good blend up front, and the forecheck's been so good. They're 7th in shots against per game, which is huge, because we're worried about this defense. If they're not facing as many shots as other teams because the Rangers always have the puck, defense all of a sudden isn't as big of an issue because the puck's in the offensive zone.
They've been able to do what was done to them last year, which is that when there's an opportunity, they're scoring.
Right.
Alain Vigneault said, we had 4 opportunities, we scored 4 goals. Right. So, you know, when Dustin Byfuglien falls down and they get a 2-on-1, they know that they're confident enough that they can score. And, you know, you hope that that's sustainable. I'm not quite sure it is sustainable. But, you know, right now, they can beat you like that. They can beat you with their speed. They can conceivably beat you with their goaltending and their defense. So, you know, there are a lot of – and they're never out of games.
Never.
So this
not
team,
with those legs.
You know, the energy that they have, they're just – they're in every game. They're never out of it.
Special teams have been great. Yep. 8th on the power play, 12th on the penalty kill. They're more well-rounded than we've seen in a while. And you have to think there's going to be a speed bump, and how can they recover if you subtract one of these forwards to an injury, let's say. Is that going to change everything? It's going to be interesting to see how they handle adversity, but they've given up goals early in games a lot. It's not like they've been playing always with the lead. They've been down 1-0 in 4, 5, 6 games, I would say, within the first 8 minutes of a game. So there are still things that can be cleaned up as well. But a lot of signs just point to this being a very, very good hockey club.
What do you think of EC, Adam? 6 goals.
I think he's been really good. Yeah. I think he's in a good position. You know, him and Buchnevich, they're both guys.
Nice shot the other night.
He's really starting to get going. They, you know, over the summer, you looked at VC and Buchnevich and you thought, these are going to have to be the guys. Like, you know, you're not sure about Hayes and Kreider, and you hope Miller's good. You're not sure about Nash. You're banking on these two rookies being good. And now, you know,
alleviates so much pressure when those other guys are going.
They're good, but at the same time, Kevin Hayes is on fire. Nice. Rick Nash is going. Zuccarello's going. Like, everyone's going, so that now it's just kind of like you didn't even realize Buchnevich was on the fourth line. You didn't care he was on the fourth line because they had a bunch of other guys scoring, and now they have a fourth line that's also scoring. So it's all coming up really well.
You really, when you look at these lines, it's so well balanced that it's hard to even say one through four.
There aren't any
four.
Holes.
They're really,
where are the holes?
There's none. I mean, everything has worked out as far as Buchnevich and VZ stepping up. I mean, look, I wanted Michael Grabner at last year's trade deadline, but if you told me he would have had 10 goals for the season, I would have said it's a good signing at $1.6 million, as long as he was great on the penalty kill. To have 7 in a month is insanity. No pressure on Rick Nash this year. I hit on that earlier, and I was excited for it. I thought he got off to a slow start, but he's adjusted very well, and now he's red hot, and he's been one of the team's better forwards. Brandon Peary has 9 points. You don't even talk about him that much anymore. 9 points, 4 goals.
It's ridiculous. What do you think is going through Hank's mind watching this?
This is fun.
Yeah, right? Like,
this is fun, and, you know, they've been this kind of team at points in the last couple of years. Not this consistently or not this deadly. But,
I've never seen the Rangers offense look like this.
In my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Do you guys not remember the start of last year when they were scoring and playing terrible defense?
It wasn't not like this.
But they've been similar. They've never been like this exactly, but they've had stretches where they have scored a lot before.
We have Dan Rosen on the phone. Hey, buddy.
What's going on, man? How are you?
I don't even know what to ask you. I mean, this is just absurd what the Rangers are doing. What do you make of this start? And look, they're not going to score five goals every night, but this is ridiculous.
It's a little bit absurd, yes. They're scoring 4.23 a game. They've got five straight games, all wins with five or more. First time they've done that since the 78-79 season. I mean, but here's the thing. It's not as if, their shooting percentage is high. It's in that 11-12% range. So that's going to go down, but you figure it goes down to, say, 10%, right? That doesn't mean a huge drop-off from what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the way they're playing, they're not giving up a ton of chances to get chances. They're not cheating for offense and being opportunistic when they, you know, and kind of getting lucky in that sense. They're playing a fast game. They're pounding the puck. They're really good in the defensive zone, which when your team is scoring four plus goals a game, you think to yourself, well, why are we talking about defense first? But this is the kind of reason why people do talk about it. They're really good in their defensive zone, coming back to the house, protecting in front of the net. And they're generating turnovers off of that, and they're flying out the zone the other way. But they're not breaking out early. They're not blowing the zone early to cheat for an offensive chance. They're just playing a real sound defensive game, and the puck's going in the net.
Dan, is it a different mindset, do you think, from the Rangers this season? Is it a different feel in the room when you're in there? Because like you said, they've been so good defensively. A lot of that's on the forwards, both on the forecheck and the backcheck. Is this just coming off the disappointment from last season, the biggest difference right now?
It's a totally different mindset about this team. And you can see it in guys like JT Miller and Kevin Hayes, the way they're playing, the way they're coming back in the D zone. Even Hayes, they said we could be better. I mean, they've been pretty good, and they're generating chances off the rush because of it. And his line with Miller and Hayes and Grabner has got 23 points in the last five games, which is, of course, unsustainable and absurd, but it's a result of what they're doing off the rush because of what they're doing in the defensive zone, in my estimation. And it is a different attitude. For a while now, Alain Vigneault has sort of been talking about guys like Kreider and Miller and Hayes and Jesper Fast to a degree, who have been in the process, young players going through the process. You hear that all the time. He won't say they're out of the process yet, but there are certain, to me, they look like they're legit now, as opposed to last year. It looked like they were in between, weren't really sure. Now they look confident. They look like the legit top six, top nine forwards in my mind that are here to stay. It is a different mindset. Plus, they got younger and faster. I mean, adding Michael Grabner was huge because you get that speed. Plus, on a penalty kill, his speed disrupts power plays and creates shorthanded chances. Zibanejad's been excellent with a bigger body, different side, a right-handed side with a ton of skill than Derek Brassard on the left. Kreider's been excellent, in the lineup. Buchnevich and VC have fit in perfectly here. It all looks great right now because they're scoring a ton of goals, but the chemistry within the group, to me, is the thing that you look at, and it looks really good.
I said earlier in the show before he came on that I think it's contagious what's going on with these guys. Like, they're almost competing against each other to see who's going to score two or three goals every night. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable in that sense. And that's why, I don't think they're going to score 4.23
right
a game. But let's say they drop a goal a game. Let's just say they drop a goal a game.
They got Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
They're still going to win games.
But, Brian, if they drop a goal a game, they're still over three.
Right. If they score three goals every night, they're going to win almost every night because they have one of the best goalies in the world.
And here's the thing that I think if you're a Ranger fan, one of the best things about all of this is the story is not Lundqvist.
Right.
And he's going to get better. His start has been average.
Right.
His start has been average by what we expect from him. He's got, a 915, 916, 917, somewhere in that neighborhood, save percentage. He's going to bump that up. History is going to prove that he's going to bump that up, and he's going to get on the hot streak, He's not even playing tonight. They're resting him for a full week. Think about how good that's going to be down the road. That he hasn't even been hit his stride yet, and they're scoring all these goals. So when they do hit that mark where they come down a little bit, it probably could coincide at the time that Henrik Lundqvist gets hot.
What's your biggest fear? We keep talking about all these positives and everything looks great, but there has to be a worry here, right? Outside of injuries or somebody breaking down or Lundqvist getting hurt, what do you think the Rangers should be concerned about? Do you see any flaws right now? I mean, it's tough to ask that with the team scoring five goals a game, but there's got to be something, right?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, there are no flaws right now that I see, but I think certainly, and it's been in the back of my mind having watched these guys for a number of years now, like, it's great now, and they're scoring a ton of goals, but how's Dan Girardi going to hold up? How's Mark Stahl going to hold up? How's Kevin Kline, to a lesser degree, going to hold up? Is Brady Shea going to hit a spot in the season where he hits a slump, and how is he going to handle that if he's not playing as well? Because I haven't seen it, but mainly, to me, it's Girardi and Stahl and the defensive depth on this team, because if they hit a mark where they're struggling to score, is that going to be the time where the forwards start cheating a little bit for offense, where and then in the defensive zone they get stretched out a little bit, and guys like Girardi and Stahl get exposed a little bit, and that becomes a bigger issue? It's just speculation. I'm sure at some point in the season that's going to happen, but at what point does it happen? Where are they? How are they playing? How's Lundqvist playing? But it's those guys in particular. But I do think Alain Vigneault did something very smart the other night by resting Dan Girardi on a back-to-back, did not play him. In the past, that would never happen. Girardi would play 1,000 games in a row if he could. But it was a very smart decision. Keep him fresh, because you need him. Their defensive depth is not that strong.
You know what, Dan? It's funny, too. When we realized that Buchnevich was coming over to North America and they signed Jimmy Vesey, we're saying to ourselves and to each other, these guys better perform right away, because we don't know what they're going to get from Hayes and Kreider and Miller. I'm curious to see how those guys perform once those other guys hit a wall, because eventually pucks are going to stop going in. I want to see how Vesey and Buchnevich play when that does happen.
Well, I got to tell you, looking at Jimmy Vesey and the way he plays, he doesn't have the same size. He's bigger than – I think Zach Parise when I see Jimmy Vesey play. And he's bigger than Zach Parise, but he's low. He plays low to the ground, low to the ice. He's dogged. He's on the forecheck. He's hard that way. Pucks seem to find him, and he goes and hunts him down. I don't think that changes. When the other guys hit a slump, or if he hits a slump, that part of your game doesn't change. And if he's doing that, then they're going to be able to sustain some pressure in the offensive zone, and they're going to be able to create chances. Whether the puck was in or not, regardless, they're going to be able to continue to sustain. Like Zach, the puck doesn't always go in for Zach when he plays his lineman, but he always plays the same way. And a guy like Kreider in particular, he doesn't have to, if the puck's not going in or not going in, as long as he's playing his speed game, power game, that north game, when he gets the puck and just goes and he plays a straight line game, he doesn't have to change that. That part of his game doesn't have to change. He's not going to skill his way around and deke and dangle and do the things that Pavel Buchnevich can do. He's going to play a straight line game. And if he does, that part of his game shouldn't change. And they, again, should still be able to create chances.
Dan, what are your thoughts on Rick Nash this season? It's the first time in quite some time that the Rangers offense hasn't been built around that scoring winger, going back to Gabarek. So there was a lot less pressure on Nash, I thought, coming into this season outside of the contract and the trade rumors, just because of how the offense was built, and he seems to be responding pretty well to it.
Yeah, he's responding really well to it. I think there was as much pressure or more on him because of the fact he had such a down year last year, 15 goals in 60 games. And that's not Rick Nash. How's he going to build on it? How's he going to improve? What's he going to do? And the one thing we're seeing from Rick Nash, and Brian, as you mentioned, contagious offense, right?
Yeah.
Well, Rick Nash is going to the front of the net.
Right.
I mean, Rick Nash is going to the front of the net. On a consistent basis, he's there. Can't say that he was last year.
No way.
You can't say that he was last year. Whether that was injury or not, I don't know. But he was not there last year. And Rick, if you ask him time and again, I'm at my best when I'm playing on the inside. And by the inside, he means inside the hash marks. I'm at my best when I'm on the inside. Well, look where he is. He's always on the inside now.
Last thing before we let you go, Dan, Jacob Trouba signed a bridge deal with Winnipeg. I'm guessing he's staying there for now. I know the Rangers have been interested in the past. What do you think happens with Trouba long term?
everybody's speculating on a trade, and maybe it happens because he asked for one, but why would the Jets trade him?
They need him. Yeah.
They need him, and they got him at such a great rate, too. You know, like, he's a great cap hit for them for this year and next. And sure, maybe, you know, I mean, if things are falling apart there, maybe you look to deal him. And if you can get the right guy in return, I mean, certainly, you know, it's better for a team now to, you know, he becomes a more tradable commodity in my estimation for a team now, just because there's cost certainty with him. You know, you're not going to, the team that gets him isn't going to have to sign him to a bigger contract. You know what you're paying him this year and next. But if I'm Winnipeg, I mean, his whole thing was, I need to play on the right side, and there's no room. Well, there's room now. Go play.
Yeah, I think he's staying. Totally agree. Dan, great stuff. We appreciate your time. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys.
Dan Rosen, senior writer for NHL.com. Follow him on Twitter at DRosenNHL. Fellas, he made a great point about Nash. He's going to the net, which, like he said, we just didn't see that from Nash last season.
I don't think Nash could go to the net last year. He, like, had a deep bone bruise that Elaine Vigneault said was a broken leg this year. Like, I think that physically he wasn't able to get up to his top speed and be in the positions that, you know, he wanted to be in after he got hurt. Before he got hurt, he had plenty of chances, and he just wasn't scoring. All those bounces are going in right now.
Nick, what do you think happens with Jacob Trouba? I think I agree with Dan. I think he's staying. The Jets need him. I mean, and they're still somewhat in the race. Nobody's really pulling away in the West. Edmonton's having a great start, but I think the Jets need Jacob Trouba.
I agree. I think they've always needed him, really. I mean, every team in the NHL could use a Jacob Trouba. I think his trade value may go up at that rate, like Dan was saying. It's a very, very good cap hit. When you look at the Rangers right now, as far as still, if they're still looking at it, I mean, can you really risk trading one of these forwards at this point?
No, that's a great point, Adam. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you're Jeff Gordon, why are you messing with anything with the way this team's going?
I've thought that for a while. Yeah. I don't think that there is a chance. I don't think that unless something happens dramatically on defense to where you need to get that kind of a guy, I don't think they're going to risk messing up any of the chemistry they have now. And that, as great as Jacob Trouba would be, you know, they're going to acquire another defenseman at some point, but it's probably going to be someone,
to a lesser extent
of the Nick Holden, Adam Clendenning, just more NHL caliber depth down the line.
I just don't think he can give up the chemistry. The one thing that makes it interesting is he came in at just about the exact same cap hit as JT Miller. But JT Miller leads the Rangers in points. When you're looking at it speculatively, I don't think you could trade any of these guys in the Rangers right now. They're just too good at this point.
Totally agree. And, of course, Trouba's next deal is going to be the mammoth.
A monster. Right. But then again, all these Rangers forwards are going to be monster contracts at this rate, too.
They keep scoring five goals a game, they are. I said on the Islanders Punk Bike podcast this week, fellas, I think they saved Jack Capuano's job Monday night. What do you think?
Without a doubt. Last night seemed like one of those absolute, like, if we lose tonight, we got to fire the coach kind of games. Like
the way the Canucks have been playing.
Yeah, I can't diagnose exactly what's wrong with the Islanders. It seems like it's a lot because Cal Clutterbuck's playing on the first line, which is nice.
Ladd finally scored.
Yeah, I was wondering when he was going to score. I think that Capuano is probably going to last the season just because I don't know who's out there. I don't know what the Islanders can really do. This is the guy who's gotten them to be in the playoffs before, so.
You could check out the Islanders Point by podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We spoke with EJ Hradek this week about those struggles. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point by podcast along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Upcoming road trip going out west. Team can bond a little bit. Looks like they're getting along just fine as is, but I'm sure it's going to be nice to get on the road for a little while against some pretty good teams, right?
It'll be nice to see how they play away from the Garden. I mean, they've just been dominant at Madison Square Garden.
They sure have.
And they've been okay on the road so far. They haven't really had a lot of chances to play on the road. So I think that, you know, it'll be a good time for them to at least put on the white jerseys for a while.
Some very winnable games on this list.
Vancouver,
Flames,
for sure.
Canucks. Columbus is playing well. I got it. Sergei Bobrovsky has looked like Sergei Bobrovsky again.
Zach Werenski's a really good player.
Yeah, and the Edmonton game, I mean, that's going to be another joy to watch. I think those two teams match up pretty well. Maybe the two biggest surprises of the year, really, right?
Yes. Connor McDavid has played 58 games. I saw the stat this morning. And he has three fewer points than Sidney did. through his first 58 games.
That's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's
like,
unbelievable.
He's just like the level of speed he gets with the puck and what he can do with it. It's just like there's Sidney Crosby who can do that, and that's it. No yeah. one else can do that.
His acceleration is just off the charts. And he goes from 0 to 60 in half of a second.
They put him on a pretty good line. You know, Lucic is probably getting some dust in his face from watching McDavid go.
Not Taylor Hall, but they don't miss him, do they?
Not up front. That's why they made the trade. When push comes to shove, they had all those options up front.
I'll say this about the Oilers. I wasn't that impressed with their forward depth when they played the Rangers.
No, there's not
week.
A lot. No.
But when
you have Connor McDavid.
Oh, when you have Connor McDavid. But I'm kind of looking at it like, well, you know, I could see where they would have. You know, they traded Taylor Hall and Yakupov, who were names,
right.
Which is why – You look at a depth chart and you see names and you think, okay, they've got three good lines. And, you know, they miss Hall more than they miss Yakupov, but their depth.
I'm almost ready to call Yakupov Alexander Dagnik. He's in that stratosphere now.
He is. It just never
connected. Healthy scratch for the Blues.
It just never connected.
Spare part. Look, sometimes number one picks don't work out.
It was the wrong pick for the Oilers.
Yeah.
It was the wrong situation for Yakupov. And it was the wrong thing that he had, like, 52 coaches in 3 years.
Yeah, that
like,
didn't help either.
Because he had that good rookie year out of the lockout with Ralph Kruger, and then Dallas Eakins comes in, and then 65 other guys come in. And all of a sudden, you know, you can argue that all of those guys in Edmonton are damaged to a degree, except for Connor McDavid, who's the greatest player of all time. But he hasn't
even Nugent Hopkins.
Stunted Nugent Hopkins. No, He's starting to come along, though. Look, they still got a lot of forwards. Dreisaitl's really good.
I just want to see them in the playoffs. I cannot wait to see Connor McDavid in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's going to be awesome.
It's funny. He's the new golden boy, right? How many games has Sidney Crosby missed? Three, four, five to start the season?
Yeah.
Who's atop the leading goal scorer in the NHL? Sidney Crosby.
Dude can still play. Let's not forget. Not that any of us have, I don't think.
I mean, dominated the World Cup. That guy could still get after it, too. It is crazy, though, how far, like, the talk is all McDavid now. Not that you don't hear Crosby's name, but in comparison to McDavid, it's all about McDavid. Really, Austin Matthews, too. For the first time, maybe in his career, the NHL isn't centered on Crosby and Ovechkin, really, as well.
Boatload of talent across the league, right, Adam?
It's definitely a good sign for the league.
Sure is. Great show, boys. We'll see you next week.
Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. Thanks again to Dan Rosen. See you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.